Good morning, Shildah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I hear you. Sorry.
No problem. Good morning.
So I was wondering if I was working. It will work. Okay. Yeah, it's working.
Yes. Yeah, at first it was quiet, but I do hear you now.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yep. Always a mic check.
Yes.
Tomorrow for the, maybe we can discuss later today. Quickly. Tomorrow for the M3 API, there, I'm going to report that all the projects that came to the architecture review. Is there anything particularly you want to mention?
No, there have been some findings, but most of it's for future.
Okay.
There hasn't been anything impacting Casablanca.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And the architecture document has been approved, also, as far as I remember, isn't it?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We are good with that. Okay. Just checking things.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll give everybody another minute or two to join, and then we'll get started. Okay, let's get started. We have a number of reviews to go through today. This is our last architecture meeting before the M3 milestone. So we'll run through, I think it's about 10 still to go. Assuming that this goes quickly, we'll let everybody out a little bit early, but I reserve a full 2 hours just in case. So I'm going to stop sharing, and I'm going to turn it over to Kanna Garaj first for CLI.
Hi, Chris. Good morning. Hello.
I'm Hi. Audible. Yes, we hear you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah, so for the CLI, my screen is visible. I just shared my screen.
Yes, we see it.
Yeah. So in this release, we are trying to continue what we supported in the last release. And Amsterdam support is end of life from this release. And planning to add a support for VNF SDK. So these are the scope for this release. So API-wise, there is no change from the existing release, and the CLI-wise. So we'll add like commands required for VNF SDK. So whatever we are seeing here, it is same like what we have in earlier release.
Okay, and how about S3P?
S3P, I think there is no change from the existing release. So CLI will continue to maintain the same, like what it was supporting in the beginning.
Okay.
If I just scan on S3P regarding security, what is your goal in terms of addressing those potential vulnerabilities you may have?
So we are having some vulnerability issues, I think, in terms of the third-party jars, what we are using. So I'm not sure that whether we will be able to address that in this release. So I have not planned for it.
And do you have your CII badge yet?
We have passing 100% in the last release itself. Mm-hmm. So in this release, I believe that should work out. If we have like some mandate in this release, say silver, then I think CLI team should work out should work it on that spot.
We're still staying at the passing, but there's been some additions, and we have to make sure that we take care of all of the critical and severe security bugs.
Okay. I think that case, I think patching wise, it should be satisfying in this release. And currently, I think there is no critical bugs related to the security. Recently I reviewed that the security team shared one PPT in that those for CLI I have not seen much critical bugs reported in that. So I think that way for this release CLI should be okay.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Kanna Garaj?
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll stop sharing. Yeah.
Thanks. So moving on. Let's see. Next up is VNF SDK. So let me run through that. We integrated Dovetail in the Beijing release. Dovetail is a test framework developed by OPNFV for the Linux Foundation Compliance Verification Program. We also brought in VVP tests. What we're doing in the Casablanca release is some refactoring. Now that we have a number of different tests, some are Java, some are Python, we are doing some internal re-architecture to better support Dovetail. We have the VTP CLI VNF test container that can run VNF SDK tests through Dovetail and report the results up to Linux Foundation. We're doing some reorganization inside for this test center part of the ref repo, talking to test runners in Java, Python, and also allowing shell-based. So this is more efficient for adding tests and selecting tests in the future. This is internal refactoring and should not affect any of our external dependencies. So all the APIs are the same and are not changing in this release. Information data models, we're using the Beijing clean version that was approved at the end of the Beijing release. We have a VNF package modeling subteam who is continuing to work on the packaging formats in conjunction with the modeling team. And API updates, everything is stable and documented in Swagger. It's posted on Read the Docs. Any questions? Okay, great.
Just one quick question.
Yes.
So does this verify both the heat and the Tosca paths, both? Because it's still separate, right?
Yes. We brought in the VVP tests to validate heat. Then we have the VNF SDK native tests, if you will, that validate Tosca. So for the test suites, VVP is continuing to develop the heat validation tests, okay. And VNF SDK is developing the Tosca validation tests, and we can run both inside VNF SDK.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so let's move on. Clamp, Marshall?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Considering the architecture, there was no change since actually Beijing, not Amsterdam. What we are working on right now is to consolidate what has been started in Beijing, meaning to have the design of the template in SDC and those templates being distributed to Clamp. So we are working with the DCE, DS team to consolidate that. We are supporting the scale-out use case, which doesn't really impact the architecture, but some tweaks in some additional parameter that we need to support in Clamp. And as a stretch goal, we're trying to put together the design that would allow Clamp to support more dynamically, meaning without having to consume development cycle to be able to support dynamically new microservice for configuration and for control loop design. So concerning the S3P, we are on track. We are close to have our CI badging. I've updated the link here, but it's still saying passing, but we are actually at 98%. We have started to work on the AFPD integration. We actually have the integration, and we are about testing it. We are also working on the log specification, the latest one, the version 1.2. We might not be able to achieve the full implementation because we depend on some on policy, because we are inheriting some API and some jar from policy, and so therefore the development needed on that jar is to be done by the policy team, but right now they don't have resources to work on that, so due to that we might not be able to achieve the full log specification in Casablanca. It has been capturing the risk. And the API are documented in Swagger, even though actually CLAM does not officially support, expose API except the L check. We are also working on the critical and severe that we are capturing. Right now, we don't have any critical. Actually, we have, but it has been already taken care of by an exception, kind of, because it is carrying from Beijing. It's regarding the Jackson library, and just about documenting the workaround we've implemented to make it pass. For the IMDM alignment, there is no direct impact on CLAMP. And for the API update, like I said, we don't have any API exposed except the L check. So that's it. Any question from the audience?
Sorry, Marcial, this is Gildas here. Regarding the security, sorry, I didn't get exactly what you were saying. I was not paying attention. So do you plan to, I think the question is, do you plan to address both the critical and the severe vulnerabilities?
Critical for sure, the severe, it will depend on the resources I have. Right now, last time I checked, there was not much currently for CLAM that were not captured by an exception. So critical for sure, severe, not sure, depending on the resources I have available to tackle the remaining of the work.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Any more question?
Thank you, Marshall.
Yeah, thank you.
Next, Dan for SDNC and CCSDK.
Okay, let me grab the screen.
Great.
Hold on. Sorry, just setting myself up. Okay, let me do CCSDK first. That's a simpler one. We really don't have any architectural changes per se since Beijing. The only thing is we did add two new repositories, one called CCSDK apps, and that's meant for applications that previously most of the stuff we had in CCSDK was meant to run from within the Open Daylight container. But in Beijing, in Casablanca, There's a couple of microservices being added. So we needed a place to home the code for that. So that's what CCSDK apps is for, for stuff like that that runs outside the container. And then CCSDK features is for things that are meant to be deployed inside the container, but really aren't anything to do with directed graphs. If we were to add like a new just graph feature, that's where that would go. So just two new repos we added. The other change is that in which we're changing the way we're doing our Ansible server a little bit. In Beijing, we had taken a copy of AppC's Ansible server, which was just demo code. It was kind of manually started up. It wasn't really part of a Docker container. And we wrapped it as a Docker container together with the playbooks that we need for SDNC. For Casablanca, what we're going to do is refactor that code a little bit and create a base Docker container in CCSDK that has just the Ansible server. And then in SDNC and AppC, we each need our own Ansible servers with their own playbooks. So we're going to create our own Dockers based on that base Docker. And the only difference being is that we'll add our playbooks. So that's that. In terms of S3P, we'll talk about this again in a couple of seconds when I get to the SDNC part of it. But we significantly improved the startup time for the Open Daylight container by changing how we install features. So everything is kind of pre-installed at Docker build time. And the old way we did it, we were kind of installing features on initial startup, and we were spending about a minute and a half just in sleeps. So we got rid of all that. In terms of security, we're trying to focus on closing which the critical vulnerabilities under our control. We'll knock off severes too if we can, although I think when we did M1, most projects thought that criticals were all we had to worry about, but honestly, when I look through our reports, we don't have that many severes, so I'm not going to worry about splitting that hair. The bigger issue for us is that a lot of the vulnerabilities that we see in CCSDK actually aren't even really ours. They're vulnerabilities that are found in libraries that ship as part of the Open Daylight distribution media. So for those, all we can really do is bring them back to the Open Daylight community to say, here's a bunch of third-party libraries we need you to update and track them, you know, in our known, I forget the name of the artifact we keep, but the list that we keep of known vulnerabilities. We would have to include that. And then in terms of CI badging status, that the one that kind of keeps getting us is the 60-day requirement. And that's related to what I just said, that we can't necessarily close things within 60 days because a lot of times the things that are being reported are not really under our control. They're things we're inheriting from Open Daylight. So, you know, all we can do is work the process to get Open Daylight to fix those. Okay, so that's that. In terms of IMDM alignment, really the only piece of that applies to CCSDK as opposed to the Tosca models, and we're using SDC's parser, the latest version, to consume Tosca models. So we're using, you know, we're getting the models from SDC, so whether we like to or not, we're using the standard ones, and we're using their parser, so we should be as standard as we can be. In terms of API updates, our APIs are stable. There's nothing really major that changed in the CCSDK APIs. One of the ones we brought in Beijing, again, it kind of started on an AppC and we brought it into CCSDK because SDNC needed it too, was the Lifecycle Management API or LCM. So we have a copy of that code, the exact same Yang model, in fact, as AppC. And the change management team asked us to add a new event. So that's the only thing that's added. And that's already reflected in the swagger that we have posted. So we're in reasonable shape there. I'm going to move on to SDNC unless there's any questions. SDNC, same, basically we added two, you know, one of the advantages, I guess, of having two projects is it's easier to keep things consistent. So just like we added two new repositories in CCSDK, we added two new repositories in SDNC for more or less the same purpose. So there's one called apps for things that run outside the container, and there's one for called features for things that run within the container but have nothing to do with directed graphs. And same comment about Ansible support. I just repeated it here for consistency. Similar comments in S3P. The only additional thing I would note is that there's optional support for geo-redundancy, and I added a link to a page that has more details on how that works. So same comment on security. We'll close the ones we can. Most of the stuff that we're inheriting from Open Daylight is more so on CCSDK than in SDNC. So in SDNC, we have a little bit more control over. We have way fewer vulnerabilities, and most of them are ones that we can probably control. So we'll close those. Same comment on IMDM alignment. We we're consuming Tosca models from SDC. So API updates. Most APIs are stable. The only exception is that yesterday, actually, one of the sub teams kind of surprised me and mentioned that they had a new interface to OOF. And I asked them, okay, so do you have the documentation done? And they said, no, it's in progress. So I said, well, okay, then technically that's too late for the release. Got the CR it in. So I'm noting it here that we know this is going on. The OOF team knows about the interface. I think they know basically the substance of what's there. It just has to be written down. So what I told the team is that once we write it down, and you know, Chris, keep me honest, I think this is the process. Once it's documented, what I'll do is I'll reach out to you to ask for a slot in the on your architecture subcommittee meeting so I can review the updated API with you. And then if we and OOF are holding hands saying that, you know, we're both okay with it, including it in the release, and you're okay with it, then we would ask to bring it back to the TSC to formally include it.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. That's what I informed the team is, like, that's the process you're going to have to go through because you missed the date.
Right.
So don't miss the date again.
Right.
So
and it's done.
Yeah. Yep.
And you said initially this API toward OOF was not initially planned at M1, so this is a kind of addition?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is, yeah. When they went through the design, they identified a need to interface with OOF. Basically, they're exposing a query interface to OOF.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, and that I need to actually add that to my my checklist, too. Because I had already filled out the checklist and everything when they told me that. I'm like, darn it.
Okay. That's okay. I am adding it in my... yes, thank you, Dan. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. So I will add it. And, you know, I just want to be transparent. And
no, that's good.
This is a late adder. We, you know, mea culpa, but it'll be worked. And I don't have any doubt that it'll make it into the release. It's just I want to go through the right process to be transparent.
Yeah. Appreciate.
But other than that, we're in reasonable shape. Do you have any questions or concerns?
One question, Dan, is the controller design studio, does that have an impact on CCSDK?
I mean, the controller design studio, most of the code for that is actually going under CCSDK. Kind of the runtime part of that is going under CCSDK, and the design time part of it is going under AppC, extending the CDP that was already in AppC.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that on the architectural changes. Sorry.
It's okay. So that controller design studio, it has its own epics and stories and all that.
Okay. Yeah. And it has since M1, so that's not an addition. We've been flushing out details, but the epics have been there.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Anything else?
Great. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate
it. Okay, thanks.
Next, I have OOF. Who's here from the OOF team?
Shankar here.
Shankar. Great. Thank you.
Yes, let me start sharing my screen. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we see it.
Okay, perfect. So just wanted to run by a few things that we have new in OOF. These are not necessarily architecture changes. As you all know, OOF is considered to be an umbrella project where there'll be multiple optimization applications built using, you know, the components that are core to OOF itself. So there are three new optimizing applications that are coming up in Casablanca. The first is a PCA optimizer, which is a POC for the 5G use case, where the optimization problem is to determine there are no conflicting neighbors when you do the physical cell ID assignment. The second optimizer that's coming up is change management schedule optimizer. So this will be used by the change management use case to determine what is the order in which the changes should be applied and at what point of time should each of those be applied. The third optimizer is a route optimizer, which is used by the CCVPN use case, which will determine what is the path between the two ports that form the connection endpoints for CCVPN. We also have a couple of new features that are enhancements coming in on top of what we had in the Beijing release. We have the HPA enhancements, which is basically streaming telemetry about the HPA resource availability and also adding SRIOV support to it. So this requires minor changes to the payload that we have in our request and response in the homing APIs that we had in R2. The other couple of enhancements that we are doing towards improving the deployability of workloads on top of ONAP is to ensure that we can home multiple simultaneous instances of the service. So the problem there is when there are multiple instances of, let's say, VCP or some service that is homed for the potentially the same customer, there are parts of the service components or VNFs that you could reuse across the same customer or perhaps across customers. Now, when simultaneous requests come in, one problem is that you'll end up creating multiple instances redundantly wherein you want to reuse an instance that already exists. However, the challenge here is these instances are not really orchestrated by the time the second request or the parallel request comes in for homing. So the solution there we propose is to kind of determine what a solution is going to be and then queue the order behind each other should they have overlapping solution space. So that's the first enhancement that we make. The other enhancement we made is to do with, providing a cloud agnostic intent-driven cloud capability that is provided by Multivim, where this is an API call that we make to Multivim to ensure that a particular Vim supports a certain intent like high availability or a certain set of capabilities in a very declarative manner. And we spoke about this in detail when Bin was mentioning this on the multi-cloud architecture review yesterday. So reflecting these changes, the dependency graph here is basically adding the CMSO API, the route API, and the PCI API. The PCI optimizer has the interface to SDNC, which Dan spoke about just a little bit ago, where we kind of query for the PCI configuration data. So this is basically a query call that we make to SDNC to get the PCI config. There is also the route optimizer that queries the topology information for the CCVP use case from ANAI. And then we have whatever interfaces that we were using for homing in R2, except that the multi-cloud API here will be enhanced with the intent-driven cloud capability. Any questions thus far? Okay, so moving on, the S3P updates, we are maintaining all the levels that we achieved in Beijing. But the enhancements are, moving towards the next step that is highlighted in yellow here. So basically for performance, we plan to have, a development plan for, areas where we could improve the performance of the optimizing applications. And this will be taken care of by each of those independent optimizers. In terms of stability, we still maintain, we plan to maintain level 1, which we achieved in Beijing. In resiliency, again, we are maintaining the same levels where the two sub-repos that we have, the OSDF is basically a level 2, whereas the homing optimizer is a level 3, which has active-active resiliency across multiple sites. On the security, we already have a passing badge, and there are no critical security or licensing issues that we have as yet. But we plan to increase our code coverage from 50% to more than 60%. That's our target for all our code bases. We also plan to incorporate AF-based authentication, and we already have encrypted communication between the components, but we want to make it encrypted even between the different calls that happen within the components in the OOF project itself. So that's the next level we are taking it to. Scalability, we are maintaining the same level that we had. In terms of manageability, we plan to make some progress on it by making it compatible or adhere to the logging v1.2 spec. We are very close to it, but there may be some gaps that we are planning to fill out and make it compatible with v1.2. With usability, I think we are maintaining the same level as we had in R2. In terms of the repos, we still have the two repos that we had in Beijing. The new seed code that is being upstreamed is for the change management schedule optimizer, which we kind of talked about earlier when we looked at the dependency graphs. Any questions on the S3P and the repos?
Jiltas here, Shankar. Regarding the security, kind of same question as the other. Is there a plan to address the critical vulnerabilities? The severe.
So we don't have any, actually. There is no identified vulnerability for our project yet. Nothing that is even the high priority or critical or severe. So there are no vulnerabilities identified yet.
Oh, you are using Python, isn't it?
Yes, we are using Python.
Oh, you are in Python. Okay. I got it now. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. So in terms of the IMDM alignment, most of it is just basically retaining what we had in R2. The couple of things that are being added are the HPA. Earlier, it was just picking up the flavor information and the capability information. But with the HPA enhancements coming in, we'll be picking in the capacity information as well from ANAI. In terms of the policy models, we already were using policy for identifying the homing constraints. We'll kind of use the same interface for identifying the PCI optimization constraints as well from policy. In terms of the infrastructure metrics, we are retaining what we had in R2 from multi-cloud. We are, though, adding the cloud agnostic intent API that Bin described yesterday from multi-cloud. Note that we are not really doing parts that were mentioned as stretch code by Bin, which is basically the cost evaluation part of it. We're just ensuring that a particular intent like high availability can be satisfied by a given Vim or not. We're not really evaluating how expensive is it to realize that intent. So that part of it is still going to happen later in Dublin and beyond. The other interface that we added, which is what Dan described a little bit earlier, is the PCI config data interface, which we have an interface with SDNR actually, to fetch the config data from that interface, which is basically a query-based interface. The new APIs are correspondingly the PCI optimization API that is called by the PCI optimization microservice that will call OOF for getting an optimized configuration or assignment of PCI. The change management API spec, which will be called by the change management use case. And there will be the route optimization API that will be called by SDNC as a part of the CCVPN use case. So these are the three new APIs that we are creating, which are all northbound interfaces. The southbound dependencies are kind of covered by the information models that we kind of query for. In terms of the API enhancements to the existing API, which is basically the homing API, we return the HPN intent directives, which is an enhancements for the HPA and especially the SRIOV intent directives to be sent along to SO for ensuring that the configuration data that is needed to achieve SRIOV capability exists as a part of the homing recommendation. The other enhancement that we make is basically returning back the cloud agnostic intents back to SO from multi-cloud. We just kind of act as a transparent carrier so that when the actual orchestration happens, these intent can be passed on by SO over to multi-cloud, which will know exactly how to modify the templates based on the intents. So I think those were the major points. The consumed interface is basically just a more detailed description on the specific changes that we made and what they mean. Any questions?
I think you mentioned somewhere in the checklist that in terms of scope change since M1, looks like the policy base enhancements, you have reduced a little bit the scope. Can you give us one word on that?
Sure. So earlier when we were when we got this requirement from the Edge Automation work group, what we were thinking about implementing is a combination of determining whether a specific cloud agnostic intent like high availability or high speed packet processing can be achieved by a certain Vim or not. So that was the scope, which also included first identifying whether this is feasible or not, and the second part to it is how expensive is it to achieve a particular intent. So as we worked through the details, we found out that we could get one part of it done, which is basically identifying whether a particular intent is feasible or not, but we didn't really have the resources to kind of evaluate the cost of realizing an intent. So we dropped the cost part out in the scope and then retaining the intent evaluation.
Okay, so this is not done mainly because of resource constraint.
That's right. It's partially because of resource constraint, partially because we don't have the right people with the right
skills.
Skill sets. Yeah. So
yep. Okay. Combination. Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you, Shankar.
Anything else? If not, I'll hand over it back to Chris.
Thank you, Shankar.
Thanks,
next up is Ram with DMAP.
Hey. Give me 1 minute. I'm sharing my screen.
Okay.
All right, can you see my screen?
Let's see. Actually, we're still seeing OOF. At least I am. There it goes.
Okay. Yeah, the DMAP, we don't have a major architectural change or any architectural changes in this release other than we're adding a few more capabilities. So I'm just going to provide an update on where we are today and open for any questions and see where we and any help and any of you need. So when it comes to DMAP, in this release, we are upgrading to Kafka 0.11 and we're also integrating with AAF, both the native Kafka API support and also the message.router AAF integration. And in addition to this, the bus controller was originally planned. Bus controller is an API to provision DMAP topics, which was originally planned as part of the DMAP architecture and the plan when we started, but we haven't committed the initial release code with that. So with Casablanca release, we are going to commit the bus controller code base to the DMAP project. Okay, when it comes to the minimum viable product, so we're going to have Kafka image, the native Kafka image with JAF integration and the secured message router with AAF integration and bus controller also with AAF integration. So at a high level with this release, we're going to have AAF integration complete as expected. And when it comes to the platform maturity, the performance, we targeted level one and we're actual level is one, and performance stability, resiliency and security Security is one, we are targeting to level two. And whereas we currently have a CIA badging with 50% pass test coverage and all that. So we're targeting for level two this, with this, and we, even with this Casablanca release, we may not be able to resolve all the severe security vulnerabilities even with this release. Scalability, manageability, usability, we already have the targeted levels achieved. And one other topic that I want to bring it up to the whole team is we started working on the DMAP DR data router piece of it. We have a late engagement from Ericsson partner, our partners from Ericsson. So we are working with Ericsson team, and Ericsson team is contributing towards the data router as well. Dominic from our team and coordinating with Ericsson to get that data router committed along with this release as well. So any questions that I can answer or anything?
Ram Tijil asks here, on the API side, I guess there is no change.
Yeah, there are no changes to API other than we are going to support native Kafka APIs, which are standard in the market.
Okay.
Native to Kafka.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Ram.
Thank you.
Next is music. Is Bharat on?
Yeah, Bharat is on. Just kidding.
Great, perfect.
Sorry, I was on mute. Just give me a moment, Chris.
Okay.
Let me just share my screen. Yes, can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
So this should not take too much time because there haven't been tremendous changes. But the main change is that unlike Beijing, in which music was running as an internal component of both portal and OOF, we want to export this as a separate service. We have been working very closely with OOM, and with their help, we have been making progress. The second point is that we have added a new recipe on top of music called PROM that allows components that are interested and to obtain automated resource management and failover. Currently, there is no client of PROM in Casablanca, but internally within AT&T, we have done a successful POC with SDNC. But just wanted to put it out there that this is the main addition that we have done. There is no real dependency, but I'm just reiterating the architecture that we had. As far as S3P updates are concerned, no major updates since Beijing. I mean, we were already in some ways ahead of the curve because we already provide geo-redundant failover and so on. That's the very purpose of music. And we continue doing all that. So just one important thing that I wanted to mention is that we had two documented vulnerabilities in Beijing, and we obtained the TSC exception for it. But our latest commit has caused 7 more vulnerabilities, both critical and severe. But we do plan to address it by M4. I have a JIRA ticket for that. I have that information here. The CII badging has been at 100%. I'm struggling to get that badge here, but if you click on this, you'll get there. Code coverage is greater than 60%. We plan to push it to around 90 to 100 if possible. That's the goal. So the 3 music repos are, of course, music, the newly added PROM recipe, and the distributed KV store, which is a sub-project. The IMDM alignment is not applicable to us because we are not consuming any models. So as far as the API update is concerned, I mean, I was slightly confused how to, not confused, but I needed some help on this, and that the main one small API that has been added to for to satisfy a requirement of OOF is that now as part of the admin onboarding API, this is not part of the publicly released API, this is just the admin API for music. OOF can specify that, or any application can specify tables and columns which on which if there are any change, then they can specify a callback URL. And OOF uses this, you know, to read their job queue efficiently. For example, before they used to have to keep polling it, now they don't have to. So it's a nice feature. But since it's not part of the public API, I don't know whether this should be considered an API change or whether we should export the admin API and make it a public API. So that's something that I would like the architecture committee to weigh on. Apart from that, nothing else. So that's the only comment about which I need some feedback.
Okay, I'll open it up for a discussion. Any thoughts or recommendations for Bharath?
So should I just leave it, hidden, so to speak, because it's part of the admin API? I mean, like, for example, right now it doesn't even show up anywhere except for in the code. It's not. And that's fine with us because that's how OOF is using it. Just wanted to make sure you guys are aligned with that.
So for the API, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Parviz.
Hi, Parviz.
Hi. I brought up this question yesterday during the presentation. The distributed KV store.
Yes.
Is this selectively per domain, per project footprint, or this can be applied across ONA?
I mean, I don't know if Srini is on the call, but if not, let me just answer for him. No, it could potentially pervade across all of ONAP. This is essentially a config store that people can use. So but currently I am not sure who their clients are. I know that there was some discussion of OOF being a client for the KV store. So currently it's not being exported as a common service. All this effort that we are doing to make music as a common service does not currently include the KV store. So
but that's the direction, yeah?
That is certainly the direction, yes.
So I guess Michael mentioned that there is an ongoing discussion. There are weekly meetings on that. I can take it offline maybe and talk to you.
Yes, we can talk offline about that, and I'll make sure Srini is also part of the meeting. So
okay, thank you.
Thanks.
So yeah, Bharath, is it Gildas? So just to be sure on the API, so you mentioned you just added some new functionality.
Yes,
but the current API, as it was in Beijing, is still working in Casablanca.
Oh, absolutely. This is an enhancement to the admin API.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, if there is nothing else, I'll let the next person.
Thank you. Appreciate the update. Okay, next I have VVP and BNF requirements. Stephen on the bridge. How about external API or AAF? Is anyone on from either of those teams? Okay, I think we've covered everybody who's here. I'll give people a couple minutes just in case they show up late. In the meantime, I just want to follow up on the architecture face-to-face. I have put out some requests about meeting rooms. I expect to close on that today. It's looking like at this point we will be able to find a room for the October 15th meeting in Canada. And it's looking more doubtful about finding a room at ONS Europe. So I'll close on that later today. But that's going to be the determining factor for the meeting. It looks like it's going to probably be in Canada the 15th. And I'll have logistics this week. Let's see, final call for anyone.
Kristen, one quick
yes.
question.
Go
is
ahead.
This October 15 coupled with any event, or is this independent?
This would be independent.
And any likely location in Canada?
Montreal, I believe.
Okay.
But I don't want to say for sure. I have a couple of different requests out, and I want to have a hard confirmation instead of a soft confirmation before we lock down any logistics.
I see. And then running for probably how many days?
You know, 2 to 3 days. This will be for the functional decomposition that we've been talking about, and then also the planning for the Dublin release.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, this is Shaka. Is there a plan B where we can have a virtual meeting?
I'm going to try not to, because of the time zones involved. If we do a virtual meeting, either someone's up in the middle of the night or really early in the morning, or we're limited to 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to have this be an in-person. We have about 24 people who signed up for both of those dates. So we should have a critical mass with either one.
Okay.
So yeah, look for email from me as soon as I get the hard confirmation. And I'm expecting that most likely today, but it'll be this week.
Hey, Chris, just by the way, if Canada, you have any issue, can we have it in Santa Clara, or that's not the choice?
Well, it's not a choice. We also had VMall graciously offer up New Jersey, but some of our Chinese colleagues have mentioned that it's difficult to get visas into the U.S.,
I see. Okay.
Which is why we were looking at Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So last call for any team who has not yet presented, who wants to present on today's meeting? Okay, so I'm going to close the meeting. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. Thanks to all the teams that came to present today. I appreciate it. And we'll talk with most of you tomorrow. Bye.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.